Chapter 32. Okay, I said, fear making my voice weak. This is bad. This is very, very bad. Wish I had my pistol, Murphy said, her tone resolute. I wish we'd had some more time to talk things out, Harry. I glanced over at Tara. One of the alphas, the mouse-haired girl in her wolf shape, was leaning against her and whimpering. Close your eyes, Tara said softly, and covered the little wolf's eyes with her hands. Her amber eyes met mine, without hope, without any sparkle of life. They were going to die because of me. Damn it all, it wasn't fair. I hadn't done anything grossly stupid. It wasn't fair to have come so far, sacrificed so much, and to buy it down here in the mud like some kind of burrowing bug. I searched the pit again desperately, but it was a fiendishly simple and complete trap. There were no options down here. My eyes went up, straight up. Marconi, I shouted. John Marconi, can you hear me? The limp figure suspended above me stirred weakly. What do you want, Mr. Dresden? Can you move? I asked. The loop guru growled low and started pacing a circuit of the pit, glowing eyes flashing between us down at the bottom and Marconi trying to decide who to rip apart first. An arm, Marconi confirmed a few seconds later. Do you still keep that knife on you? The one I saw at the garage? Denton and his associates searched me and found it, I am afraid, came Marconi's voice. Damn it all. You are a miserable, stupid bastard for making a deal with Denton, Marconi. Now do you believe he wanted to kill you all along? The figure above me wiggled and writhed, swinging from the ropes that held him trussed up there. Yes, do tell me that you told me so with your last breath, Mr. Dresden. I was already rather acutely aware of that, Marconi said, his voice dry. But perhaps I'll yet have a chance to make amends. What are you doing? I asked. I kept my eyes on the loop guru as it circled the pit and kept myself opposite the creature, where I could see it. Reaching for the knife that they didn't find, Marconi replied. He grunted, and I saw a flicker of light on something shiny up above me. Forget it, Murphy said quietly, stepping close to my side as she watched Marconi. He's just going to cut himself loose and leave us to rot here. We won't get a chance to rot, I pointed out, but I thought she was right. Marconi started to spin slowly on his rope, wriggling around until his whole body was rotating on the end of it. He began to speak, his voice calm. Ironic, isn't it? I'd planned to wait for the creature on the platform and tempt it into the pit. There are some nets ready to drop on it, after all. I would have held it until morning. You do know that it's right beneath you now, don't you, John? I asked. Mr. Dresden, Marconi said crossly. I asked you not to call me that. Whatever, I said, but I had to admire the raw courage of the man to banter while dangling up there like a ripe peach. I use this place to conduct noisy business, Marconi said. The trees muffle the sound, you see. You can barely even hear shotgun blasts on the other side of the wall. He continued to spin on the rope, slow and lazy, a shadow against the moon and the stars. Well, that's nice, I said. And despicable. The loop guru looked down at me and snarled, and I took an involuntary step back from it. The mud wall of the pit stopped me. Oh, quite, Marconi agreed. But necessary. Is there anything you're not shameless about, Marconi? I asked. Of course, but you don't think I'm going to tell you, do you? Now be quiet, if you please. I don't need the distraction. And then I saw Marconi's arm curl in and straighten outwards. There was a flutter of metallic motion in the air and a snapping sound from the base of one of the ropes that held the platform suspended at its far end where it was secured to one of the pine trees. The rope abruptly sagged, and the platform and Marconi with it swayed drunkenly. Marconi grunted and bounced against his ropes a few times, making the whole affair of ropes lurch about, and then the damaged line snapped and came entirely free. It whipped around toward Marconi, lost momentum, and then fell through the evening air, straight down into the pit in front of me. One end was still attached to the platform above, now off-center from the pit and listening to one side. I blinked for a moment, and Murphy said, "Holy shit, he did it." I don't recommend waiting around, Mr. Dresden, Marconi said. I saw him twist his head to look up at the loop guru and tensed up as the beast trotted around the edge of the pit to the side closest to him. If it had noticed the rope that had fallen down from above, it gave no sign. Hope lurched in my chest like sudden thunder. I grabbed onto the rope with both hands and started shimmying up it like a monkey, pushing with my legs and using mostly my good arm to hang on with while I lifted my legs up higher for another grip. I got up to even with the lip of the pit and started rocking back and forth, getting a swinging momentum going so I could leap off the rope and to the ground outside the pit. The ropes above creaked dangerously as I did, and Marconi swayed back and forth, still spinning about gently. Dresden, he shouted, look out. I had been intent on my escape and given the loop guru no thought. I turned my head around to see it flying through the air toward me. I could see its gleaming eyes and felt sure that I could have counted its teeth if I'd waited around for it. I didn't. I let out a yelp and let go of the rope, dropping several feet straight down before clamping onto it again. The loop guru sailed past me overhead like some huge, obscenely graceful bat and landed on the far side of the pit with barely a sound. My fingers felt weak. I was so shocked and terrified. But I started hauling my way up again, swinging desperately as I went. The loop guru turned and focused its eyes on me again, but Marconi let out a sharp whistle, and the thing turned toward him, pricking its misshapen ears forward in a weirdly doggy mannerism before it snarled and leapt upward. I bounced on the rope, and Marconi bobbed down and then back up again. The loop guru missed him by bare inches, I think, but I didn't hang around to watch. I let out a yell and threw myself at the edge of the pit as the rope reached the apex of his swing. I missed, my belly hitting the lip of the pit, but I started clawing at the earth and kept myself from falling. I strained and kicked, thrashing and whimpering in desperation, and managed to gain a few inches, slowly worming my way up onto the ground until I felt my feet underneath me. The loop guru on the far side of the pit turned toward me and let out a sound that can be best described as a furious roar. Shouts erupted from somewhere else in the estate. Denton and his lackeys must have been watching the pit, I thought, but they were the second scariest bad guys on the field at the moment. I had bigger things on my mind. Said thing threw itself at me, and I had a few seconds to start running, trying to arrange things so that the pit would be between me and it when it landed. I was only partly successful. The loop guru tore up the earth where I'd been standing when it came down and turned toward me again, facing me across a scant 10 feet of space from one side of the square pit to the side adjacent to it. The rope started bobbling again, and then, with a motion full of grace and power, Tara swung up out of the pit and landed in a crouch on the ground beside me. Go, wizard, she snarled. Denton and the others will kill us if they are not stopped. I will handle MacFin. No way, I said. You can't possibly take him on. I know him, she responded. And then there was, in her place, a huge she-wolf, dark fur peppered with gray. She snarled and bounded at the loop guru, and it reared up like a cat about to take a mouse, plunging toward her with abrupt speed. And that's how I saw the difference between Tara and the Alphas, Tara and Denton's Hexenwolfen, even Tara and the loop guru. Where they were fast, Tara was fast and graceful. Where they were quick, Tara was quick and elegant. She made them look like amateurs. She was something more primal, more in tune with the wild than they would ever be. As a loop guru threw itself at her, she slipped to one side like wind, threw her shoulder beneath the beast's planted forepaw, and shouldered it off balance, making it stumble. It recovered and spun toward her, but she was already gone, further away from the pit, growing defiance at the supernatural creature. It followed, impervious and snarling with rage. I heard a gunshot, and a bullet smacked into one of the trees behind me. Ben's voice repeated a low, frantic chant, and then I heard her words turn into an animal's snarls. Denton and the others were coming. It was time to play the last option I had, the one I hadn't wanted to be forced to use. I wasn't sure what would happen if I did, but there wasn't much choice. I slipped my hand beneath my shirt and touched the wolf belt I had taken from Agent Harris in the alley behind the Full Moon Garage. It was vibrating beneath my fingers, warm to the touch, alive in its own fashion, and full of power and strength that had been channeled into it. I closed my eyes and let that dark, wild power spill into me, mingle with all the fear and pain and wariness inside of me. It was easy. It was easier than any magic I'd ever done, leaping into me with a sort of hungry eagerness, seeping into me, making pain and fatigue and fear vanish, and replacing it with nothing but strength, ferocity, power. Lupus, I whispered. Lupus, lupara, luparoso. It took no more of a chant than that for the change to take me. It wasn't something that I noticed, really. But when I opened my eyes again, things were simply as they should be, right, in a way so fundamentally profound that I wondered why I had never noticed its lack before. My vision was sharp and clear enough to count the hairs on the head of the she-wolf orienting on me a few feet away. I could hear the pounding of her heart, the restless motion of the wind, the heavy breaths of the other agents in the trees moving toward me like great, clumsy cows. If the sun had suddenly risen into the sky, I could not have seen any more clearly than I did. All in glorious shades of blue and green and maroon and purple, as though God had dipped his brush into a late summer twilight and replaced all darkness with those colors. I dropped my mouth open in a silent laugh and felt my tongue glide over the gleaming, sharp tips of my fangs. What a beautiful night. I could smell blood on the air, hear the eagerness of my enemies to kill. I felt that same hunger rising from my own heart and surging through me. It was perfect. Ben came through the trees first, fast and powerful, but clumsy and impatient and stupid. I could smell her excitement, pitched to an almost sexual level. She was expecting an easy kill, a sudden rush over one of the slow, graceless two legs, and then the hot, spurting blood, the frenzied writhing. I did not oblige her. As she came through the trees, I leapt forward and was at her throat before she even realized I was there. A quick rip, hot blood, and she yelped in agony and fear, throwing herself to one side. Stupid bitch. I'd missed her heart's blood, but she was badly hurt. Two snaps severed her hamstrings as she tried to flee and left her writhing on the ground, helpless and terrified. I felt my body thrill with abrupt and vicious excitement. The bitch was mine now. She would live or die exactly as I wished her to. The surge of power and elation that flew through me at that realization could have carried me off the earth and into the silver glory of the moon and stars themselves. To the victor go the spoils. Her blood, her life, was mine to take, and that's exactly how it should be. I stalked forward to finish her, as was only proper. There was a puff of breath, and then Wilson, in his wolf form, came hurtling from the woods. I slipped easily as he rushed by. The wounded Ben snarled and snapped blindly at him. Wilson turned on her, his fury out of control, and latched his jaws into her throat. Blood was a black, rich, heady smell in the moonlight, and I swayed, drunk on the aroma of it. My mouth watered, jaws growing damp with saliva as I smelled the bitch's blood, and I wanted to fling myself at her, tear her apart as she went screaming to her death.